And we're going to begin the message as
I always do these messages, back a few verses. We're going to read beginning in Mark 4. Our lesson is Mark 5, but we've learned to read what's before and what's following the text. And it says here, beginning with verse 35, Mark 4, "And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto his disciples, Let us pass over unto the other side, across the Sea of Galilee." He'd been preaching, been talking to the people. There was a great multitude there. And he said to his disciples, "Let's get into the ship and go to the other side." So verse 36 says, "And when they sent the multitude away, they took him." Now this is interesting. "Even as he was." Even as he was. Talking about the Lord Jesus. How was he? Weary and tired. Because it tells us later, he took a pillow and lay down in the back of the ship and went to sleep. They took him, weary, tired, having spoken to the multitude, having ministered to them for a good while that day. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, don't forget that. There were some more little ships when they cast off from the bank and started across the Sea of Galilee. There were other ships out there. Some of them might have been doing business and fishing, and some of them may have been following him, because everywhere he went, a multitude generally followed him. So there were other little ships. Now, verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." There arose a sudden storm, wind and rain, and the waves were high, and they beat upon the ship and came over the sides into the ship, and the water began to fill the little ship. And these disciples were afraid it was going to sink. They couldn't bail it out fast enough. And the Lord Jesus, verse 38 said, the Lord Jesus was in the hinder, the stern, the back part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow, so tired, so weary. Our Lord was a man. He hungered, he thirsted, he was weary, he wept. He took upon himself, I read a little while ago from Philippians, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't partake of our sin, but he partook of the consequences of it. The weariness and the loneliness and the sorrow. So these disciples, they came, it said, and awakened him. And they said, "Master, don't you care that we perish? Master, we're in danger of sinking. The water's filling up the little ship, and we're going to die." Now, I can tell you three things that I know from this reading. Number one, this was a real storm. It was a real storm. You see, these men were experienced seamen, experienced fishermen. They'd been on this sea many, Peter, James, John. These men were fishermen. And a little wind wouldn't have upset them. A little rain and a few waves. Some of you fellas here in the Navy, I was in the Navy, and some storms don't bother you, just used to it. Get used to it. But this was a bad storm. This was a bad one. Second thing I know is this, they were genuinely afraid. They really were afraid. They really were. They came back to him and said, "Master, don't you care?" Well, now, the third thing, they shouldn't have said that. They knew better than that. They had no cause to doubt their Lord's love. He'd never given them any reason to doubt his love or to doubt his care or to doubt his provisions. Has he ever given us any? Now, our storms are real. They're real. And sometimes we feel like we're just going to perish. We're going to collapse under them. But now we know better than that. There's no cause for us to make statements like that. There was no cause for them to accuse him of neglect. He's never failed us yet, has he? Never has. All right, it says in verse 39, and he arose, and he will. In his own time, he stood up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, you be still. One writer said he rebuked that wind and that sea as a Lord would unruly serpents. Unruly serpents who had acted impulsively. Sit down. Peace be still. Peace. And you know, it says, and the wind ceased. The wind stopped and there was a great calm. Now, I've been in some dandy storms. And there was one I remember off the coast of Okinawa back in 1945. And it was a terrible, terrible storm. And after a while, the wind stopped. But the waves didn't calm down for hours and hours and hours. The wind stopped, but the waves don't stop. They keep on, the sea keeps surging after the wind stops. But here it says, the wind stopped and the waves calmed down. The waves stopped immediately. They calmed down. The sea was like glass at his command. And I tell you this, what he did was for his disciples. They're the ones for whom he did this. They're the ones for whom he spoke this word. It was because of them that he told the wind to stop and the waves to lie down at his feet like a shepherd dog and be still. And they did immediately. It was for his disciples. But you remember a while ago I read there were other little ships out there in that storm too. This wasn't the only ship. But it was the only ship that had his people in it. It was the only ship full of believers. And what he did for them, but those other fellas were blessed also. And God will bless a whole city for the sake of his people. That's right. He'll bless a whole community. He'll bless a whole nation for the sake of his people. You see, when the Lord Jesus acts in power and grace to bless his people, it spills over into other lives. I imagine some of those fellows out there in those ships were cursing God. I remember when we get in those storms, some of those sailors could really, you ever heard of cursing like a sailor? They'd curse the wind, they'd curse the waves. You remember, they'd curse everything and everybody and curse God. They weren't seeking his help. The disciples were seeking his help. Master. But they were blessed when these disciples were. I tell you another thing. When the wind stopped and the waves calmed, the disciples said, what manner of man is this? And worshiped him. Those fellows out there said, boy, we sure were lucky. They attributed the calming of the sea and the stopping of the wind to some kind of chance or luck or good fortune. You can be sure none of them out there said, we'll praise the Lord. But his people did. Listen to what they said in verse 40 or verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. But he had some words for them in verse 40. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? Why indeed? Why are we? Why are we? It's that sin which doth so easily beset us, unbelief, isn't it? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Have you no faith? Lord, not much. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man. He's the God-man. He's the God-man. And the Heavenly Father hath given him authority, absolute authority over all things, over the wind and the waves, over all flesh. He has all power in heaven and in earth. All things are put under his feet. Now then, let's look at the next verse, chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over. The storm was over. The sea was calm. And they came to the other side of the sea by his choice into the country of the Gadarenes. My, what a blessing when our Lord is pleased to visit where we are. What a blessing. He came to the country of the Gadarenes. This is where he was going. He got a sheep over there. One of his own over there. I know the Lord is omnipresent. Listen to what David said over here. If you'd like, you may turn to Psalm 139 with me. But I know the Lord's omnipresent. I know that. The Lord is everywhere. Everywhere. Listen to what David said in Psalm 139. Verse 7, Psalm 139, 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in, this word hell is unfortunate here because we associate it with something else. But the word is, if I make my bed in the lowest parts of the universe, art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shalt thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. But I say, surely the darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day, and the darkness and the light are both alike. So God is everywhere. Our Lord is everywhere. But listen, there are times and there are places when the Lord is pleased, when and where the Lord is pleased to visit in a special way and to minister in a special way. His mercy and his grace. He's everywhere. Beholding the good and the evil. He's everywhere. But there are certain times and certain places when and where our Lord is pleased to come and to minister. For example, Samaria. When our Lord went from a certain place to another place, said he must needs go through Samaria. And there he stopped, and there he blessed some people. The woman at the well and all those other people. Samaria. Philippi. You remember when he was going to Bithynia and he was going to Asia and he was going here, Paul was going to preach in different places, and God said no. And that night a vision appeared to the Apostle Paul, and God said to him through a man in Macedonia, come over here and help us. And Paul went to Philippi. And where Paul went, where God's messenger went, the Lord went. And God saved Lydia and the Philippian jailer and all these people in Philippi. And then Paul had prepared to leave Corinth. You remember in Acts 18 he was going to leave, and God said no. The Lord said no, stay here. Stay here. I have much people in this city. So I'm saying that the Lord Jesus, our God, is everywhere. But he chose to come to this place. He chose to come to this place. And God is everywhere. But he chose to come to this place. Right here and bless. There's not a church in this nation more blessed than this congregation. I mean, not a one. More blessed. They're plenty blessed. I know that. But he's where he is. He goes where he will. He blesses whom he will. And he's blessed you. Oh, what a joy. Well, look at verse 2. And when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man. A man met him. You know, listen to me, and you know this, you're familiar with this. When our Lord heals the sick here in these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, strength to the lame, raises the dead, these are but pictures of his mercy to us who are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, spiritually lame, spiritually powerless, hopeless, helpless without him. So when this man ran to meet our Lord, I see myself in this man. I see you by nature in Adam in this man. Let's see what it says about him. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man. Where did this man come from? The graveyard. He came out of the tombs. Look at verse 4. It says he had his dwelling among the tombs, among the dead. It says in verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. That's, he came out of them, from among them, and in them. And that's where we are by nature, dead. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death, spiritual death, passed upon all men. And our dwelling and habitation is among the dead. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When I see the Lord, I say, I'm a... In Adam, a dead man, I dwell among dead people. Dead. Dead. And look at verse 2. They met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. I thought when I read that, I cannot think of a better way. I cannot think of a better way to describe this sinful nature with which every one of us are born. Unclean. Can you think of a better word? I know it's rebellious. I know it's sinful. I know it's boastful. I know it's, but it's unclean. Unclean. That's right. Not any of us would want our thoughts exposed to the general public. Why? Because they're unclean. That's right. This man had an unclean spirit. And that's what we are in Adam. We have an unclean spirit. There are places in ourselves that we wouldn't want any eye to look. Isn't that right? There are thoughts and imaginations and words and all these things in us. You know, it's like when a woman invites company to her house. There's some rooms off limit. Just don't take them in there. You know, we've cleaned this part up. It's all right for inspection, but don't take them in there. And that's the way it is with this nature of ours. We clean. I look pretty good this morning, though. Don't feel too hot, but I look pretty good. I worked on it. But there are parts I wouldn't want you to see. Unclean. And that's the reason. If it's cleaned up, I wouldn't mind. But it's unclean. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. That's the reason we blush. That's the reason we're embarrassed. That's the reason we mourn, because we've got an unclean spirit. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. I'll tell you another thing about this man. Verse 3. Nobody could tame him. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not even with chains. They couldn't harness him. They couldn't control him. They tried to bind him. It says here in verse 4, he'd been often bound. Yeah, bound with fetters and chains. Some people tried some, they tried psychology on him. They tried chains. They tried all these different things to control this unclean spirit, this rebellious spirit. They tried all these methods and means and ways and fetters. For a while they might have him. We got him now. We got him. Reminds me of religious people trying to tame and trying to reform men and women. They try so many ways. And it lasts for a while. Boy, they bound him one day and they thought, we got him bound now. We don't have any more trouble with him. He's subdued. He's bound. And 2 or 3 days later went out, he's wild again, you know. He's busted all of the fetters. We try all these things. We try the law. We try professions of faith. We try baptism, church membership. We try reformation. We give them cards to sign. All these things. Trying to subdue that unclean spirit. Check it. That bad attitude and bad spirit and bad temper. Just try all these different things. Power, positive thinking and all these things. Positive mental attitude. It will work. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Who can deliver me? And here's verse 5. And he hurt himself. And he hurt everybody around him. That's the bad part. Day and night, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. Why are you doing this to yourself? That unclean spirit. It's that wicked nature. Why are you doing this to yourself? Don't you know what you're doing to yourself? Why are you doing this to your family? Why are you doing this to your children? Why are you doing this to your loved ones? Why are you hurting everybody? Nobody can tame him. Nobody can tame him. Never found anybody that could tame him, conquer him. But, verse 6, but, I know somebody can. I know somebody can. But, when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. He saw him. What a vision, what a sight. That little old boat came up to shore and he was there behind a tombstone wherever among the dead, wild, hair long, dirty, crusty, filthy. And he saw someone, never seen anybody like him. He saw him. He saw the Lord because the Lord was there. Because the Lord was there. And let me tell you something. Men and women in our congregations will see Christ only if he's there in his gospel and in his word. Do you know why all over this country men and women, boys and girls, are not seeing the Lord? Because he's not being preached in his true character. This Jesus, this man saw, wasn't an imposter. He wasn't an impotent Jesus. He wasn't a make-believe Jesus. He wasn't some Jesus the Baptist conjured up. He was the Lord himself. That's who he saw. And Paul said, we preach not ourselves, we preach Christ. Jesus the Lord. How are they going to call on him whom they haven't seen? In whom they have not believed. And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? You see him because every time these men get up here in this pulpit and preach, they preach Christ. The sovereign Christ, the eternal Christ, the conquering Christ, the incarnate Christ, the righteous Christ, the crucified Christ, the risen Christ, the enthroned Christ, the immaculate Christ, the sovereign Christ, the Christ of God, as he is. I see him.
And I tell you what he did. Listen, when he saw him, he ran and worshiped him, fell at his feet. Now watch it. He didn't run to the disciples. They were there, but he didn't run to them. And watch it. He didn't wait till he cleaned up. He didn't run down to somebody's house and wash up before he went to the Lord. He went just like he was. Just like he was. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, that you bid me come to thee. Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Lamb of God, I come. He ran, and he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. He didn't wait on an invitation. He didn't wait on anybody to go with him. He didn't wait to see if anybody else is going. In fact, nobody did but him. I like what old Joshua said. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'll tell you what me and my house are going to do. We're going to worship God. I tell you what we're going to do. Everybody ought to worship him, but they didn't. Everybody ought to run to him, but they don't. Everybody ought to fall at his feet, but they won't. But he did when he saw him. When he saw him. When God lets us see him, we will too. We'll run. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. No man can come to me except my Father who has sent me draw him. But when God shows you him, you'll run and you'll worship him. Worship him. All right. But that evil spirit in him, now watch this, that evil spirit in him cried out against Christ. That evil spirit in him cried out against Christ. Now listen to me. Religion appeals to demons. Demons are comfortable in religion, but they're uncomfortable around Christ. Demons love the flesh. The wilder it is, the more they love it. Demons, religion appeals to demons. Religion appeals to this unclean spirit. But the gospel of Christ is offensive. And when this man ran to Christ, this demon, this unclean spirit in him, No, go anywhere but to this Christ. Don't go to him. Christ is offensive. And our Lord said, come out. He said to him, verse 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Come out. And this unclean spirit said, our Lord said, what's your name? He said, Legion. Legion is many. Remember when the Lord said to his disciples that he called on the Father and he sent him legions of angels? A Roman legion was 3,000 footmen and 3,000 horsemen. And this demon said, we're many. We're many. And the Lord told him to come out. And they said, well, don't send us out of the country. Verse 10, I don't know a great deal about this. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. He said, don't send us out of the country. We like this pagan country. Don't send us out of the country. There was a herd of swine feeding there, about 2,000 of them. The devil said, Lord, said to him, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And they went into the swine, and the swine went into the sea. Now let me tell you something. Christ is the only one who can cast out evil spirits. Christ is the only one who can talk to and be talked to by demons and devils. Don't you try it. Don't ever try it. And don't be associated with anybody that does. I'm telling you. Don't do it. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Like I said, now I don't know a great deal about this, of what took place here. And I don't want your mind to dwell on these demons. I want your mind to dwell on the power of Christ to deliver his people, set the prisoner free, the captive free. But look at Luke chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man, armed, keeps his palace, his goods are at peace. That's when Satan and his demons, armed with what? Armed with lies, armed with deception, armed with craftiness, armed with those things that appeals to our flesh. And when he dwells in his castle, in the people in whom he dwells, he dwells there. Satan can't come back. He can't come back. But Satan wasn't driven out. The Lord didn't put him out here. He voluntarily went out on his own. You with me? He says, I'll go back to my house. And when he came, when he comes, he found it swept, not washed, not cleansed in the blood, but swept. When you sweep, you just move dust from one place to another. You don't get rid of it. You got to wash to get dust out. He found it swept, and he found it garnished, decorated. Had a cross, had a pen, says God is love. Had all these decorations, you know, had a cross around the neck. Decorated, garnished, that's what decorated is, adorned. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. That's voluntary religion that a fella gets. And Satan goes out. And for a while he or she gets along pretty good, and then he comes back. And the last state, you've seen it so many times. You've seen it so many times. That person who used to be so religious is just the opposite. Seven times worse than he was. More blasphemous, more doubtful, more caustic, more evil, more wicked. He gave up his religion. It was his. But let me tell you something. When Christ, that man was full of an unclean spirit, and our Lord said, you come. And he departed for good. Gone. That's right. That's right. I want you to turn to Acts 19. I want to show you something. And that's what I said a while ago. I don't know a great deal about this. And I don't want to. And I don't want you to. Don't you ever try this. Only Christ can do this. Only Christ can deal with demons and devils. Now, he gave his apostles that power. They came back and said, Lord, the devils are subject unto us. You remember? He said, don't you rejoice the devils are subject unto you. You rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. That's not your forte, the devils. It's just temporary anyway. Now, he gave his disciples special power and credentials. Now, I want you to watch this in Acts 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, here's some fellas that are going to give this a shot. There's some people possessed with demons. They're going to use the name Jesus. You see these people on television get that frown, that pious look, and say, Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. These fellas tried that. Read on. In Jesus' name, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests that did this. And the evil spirits answered, said, now Jesus we know. Boy, they do. What'd that devil say over here in Mark? When the Lord Jesus, verse 7 of Mark 5, he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? We know him. We know him. Read on Acts 19. And Paul we know. He's the apostle of Christ. But who are you? Who are you, fellas? Where'd you get your authority over devils? Who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them. They fled out of the house naked and wounded. And all they did was try to call out the demons in the name of Jesus. But this was real. This wasn't play pretty, you know. This wasn't a meeting where everybody's jumping around acting like fools and passing offering plates, and I think Satan cooperates with folks like that. But this is real. Now I want to show you one other scripture in Jude 9. In Jude verse 9. You remember when God took Moses up to Mount Pisgah and killed him, took him home, buried him. It says in verse 9 of Jude, in verse 8 it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against the devil a railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. There, my friend, is what you and I will do. If we have any dealings with any type of devil or demons or whatever, our appeal and plea, Lord, you deal with this. The Lord rebuke thee. Not me. Not me. And so our Lord dealt with him. Now here's what I want you to see. So they, verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country what had happened. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Here's the people came out now. In verse 15, and they come to Jesus. Now here's something very significant for us. And they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil. They see him that was possessed with the devil. They see this man who was out of the tombs, who could not be tamed. And he was the man who was possessed with the devil. You know, some people resent the word sinner. Sinner saved by grace. Sinners. But the people in the Bible, I want you to watch this now, the people in the Bible who were saved by the grace of God and to whom our Lord ministered his mercy, they were always known by what they were. Listen, Rahab the harlot. Every time you mention Rahab, what do you say? Rahab the harlot. I'm going to preach now, Rahab the harlot. Rahab might have been a harlot, but she's not now. She was the mother of Boaz. But she was always known as Rahab the harlot. God had mercy on the harlot. What about the thief on the cross? He's not a thief now. What do we call him? The thief on the cross. You believe the thief on the cross is in heaven? Why are you calling him a thief? He's the Son of God. But when the Lord found him, he was a thief on a cross. What about the Mary out of whom he cast seven devils? That's the way she's known. The Bible mentions Mary. That's the one out of whom he cast seven devils. What about the woman of Samaria? The Samaritan woman. That's where people... What about Simon the leper? God cleansed him, but he was still Simon the leper. The man who was born blind. The man possessed of the devil. And let me tell you something. You and I are sinners saved by grace. Amen. We'll always be known. Remember the pit from which you were digged. And this man, they're not going to let him forget where the Lord found him. And don't you ever forget it either. Where he found you. The thief. Paul never forgot where God found him. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Not worthy to be called an apostle. All right, let's see about this man. They come to Jesus. They see this man that was possessed with the devil. And the fellow that had the legion, they saw him sitting. You know, when he had those devils, he wasn't sitting. He wild as a buck. Wild as a buck. I tell you, a lot of religion today, now, I don't want to be harsh, but Christ said, my peace I give unto you. not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's peace through the blood of his cross. There's peace and rest. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Come before the Lord with thanksgiving. This man was wild when the demons were in him. And when the Lord saved him, they came and found him sitting. Secondly, they found him clothed. He didn't clothe himself. I tell you who clothed him. One who conquered him clothed him. The Lord covered him. I know that. And that's how you find... We were possessed of demons, and he conquered us, and we're sitting at his feet like Mary of old, and we're covered with his righteousness. And look at the next line, in his right mind. In his right mind. He didn't belong where he was. He's in his right mind now. You wouldn't find him where he was. He's in his right mind now. See, Christ is his wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. In his right mind. Now watch this. Here's what shocks you. And they were afraid. Now let me see if I can help you with that. They weren't afraid of the man. For the first time, they weren't afraid of him. He's peaceful. Sitting, clothed, got a different expression on his face. He's looking in love and gratitude to his Lord. So thankful. In his right mind. Not wild anymore. They're not afraid of him. Who were they afraid of? Christ. Christ. Now listen. They saw his power over the man. They saw his power over the legion of demons. They saw his power over the herd of swine. He could send those demons wherever he pleased. Into whomever he pleased. They went where he told them to go. Where he permitted them to go. They asked to go there and he let them go there. They saw that. They saw the destruction of the swine when the demons entered them. They knew their own sins. They knew their own corruption. They were associated with evil men and evil designs and evil doings. And they knew this man somehow was associated with the judgment of God and the presence of God. And they were afraid of the consequences. So they said nothing about the loss of the pigs. They were willing to absorb 2,000 pigs. Didn't ask him to pay for them. 2,000 pigs. All they asked him to do is leave our shores. Don't disturb our religion. Don't disturb our way of life. Don't disturb the status quo. Leave us like we are. Just go away. And I'll tell you this. You go into the average church today and try to preach the free and sovereign grace of God. And I'll tell you what they'll say. Leave us. We're happy like we are. We're content like we are. We don't want you. You see, Christ disturbs. When our Lord comes, there's a disturbance. New life, resurrection, change, dedication, commitment, surrender. Christ reigns, rules. And they said that, just go away. Just go away. Just don't want to study this message. Don't want to look into it because we're all right like we are. Well, this fella, let me show you something about him and I'll quit. This fella here in verse 18, he didn't want him to leave.
He wanted to go with him. He prayed that he might go with him. And he wanted to be one of the apostles, I think. That's what he wanted. He wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord told him, said, now, you go home to your friends. And don't you go home and try to be a theologian and straighten all of them out now. Because you're not able to straighten anybody out yet. But I tell you what you do. You just go home and tell them what God's done for you. That's a good idea, isn't it? Go home and just tell them what God's done. Tell them what you were. They know. Tell them who did it. Tell them what you are now. And give him all the glory. Tell them what great things the Lord's done for you.